What's up, Oos? Main Event Jey Uso here from the WWE. When it's just me between matches, it's day one-ish. And that means it's Chumba time. With hundreds of casino-style games and new titles arriving weekly, there's always something fresh to try at Chumba Casino. The daily boosts make it even more fun. And have me, about to get them, all during my downtime. Ready for a fun way to chill out and enjoy a few minutes for yourself? Let's Chumba.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. See T's and C's. 21 plus. Sponsored by Chumba Casino.
May is Maytag Month, and Menards is passing the savings on to you. You need reliable and energy-efficient appliances to conquer the day. Menards is your one-stop shop with appliances in stock and ready to take home today. Check out our top appliance brands, including KitchenAid, Maytag, Whirlpool, Amana, and Criterion. Save big money on Maytag appliances at Menards. And check out our weekly flyer on Menards.com for all the great deals happening now.
Save big money at Menards.
Get your sexy on.
You know what that music means?
Every Wednesday, we're ready. We're always ready for Tim Hasselbeck. We're live here at Kroger in Franklin, 1203 Murfreesboro Road.
We're asking for you to come out here and help us, this area, Middle Tennessee, recover from tornadoes. The Kroger Foundation has committed $25,000 to the American Red Cross. Customers can also go inside and donate at checkout. Kroger is also taking donations for the Second Harvest Food Bank, and customers can donate non-perishable items in-store out here with us. We are, you can see us, our sister station, 102.9 The Buzz, right here with us at our tent. So we're going to be here doing our show until 2 o'clock. We'll be out here until 5 o'clock today. It's exit 96 right off I-65. We say hello to Tim Hasselbeck from ESPN. Tim, how you doing?
Doing well. How are you guys?
Doing fantastic.
Hey, Timmy.
Anything changed since our discussion last week?
On my 0% prediction?
Mm-hmm. You had a little bit of happy feet, a little bit of, you know. You were a little uncomfortable in the pocket last week. That was the vibe I got.
I'm not ashamed to admit that. I'm telling you, I should have left myself a little bit of wiggle room, like a little bit of like some dumb and dumber, you know, that was a chance we were willing to take type of stuff. I didn't leave myself much room. And I will say, when you do that, like when you go ahead and like, yeah, you put a stake in the ground that way, it does make you feel more invested with every single report that's out there on what may or may not happen. And I think it's still probably too early because there's, you know, so much waiting going on with the current CBA negotiations and that type of thing. But I know Diana Rossini, you know, kind of had a report basically saying that, you know, the Titans, their focus seems to be on Ryan Tannehill, and I've seen other people kind of, you know, echo that sentiment. So that made my feet calm down a little bit in the pocket. At the same time, I mean, I think, listen, I'm just kind of trusting my instincts on it. If you just go back to when you guys first asked me about it, I'm just trusting my instincts on it. I'm not sure that a 43-year-old quarterback is the direction that, you know, you really want to go. And, you know, while Tom Brady has accomplished a lot, you know, you're not getting 34-year-old Tom Brady. You're getting 43-year-old Tom Brady. And, you know, the way the team is constructed and what they were doing offensively was so different from kind of the things that, you know, I would think that you would think you would get the benefit from with Brady. I still feel like it's unlikely that he ends up here, but, you know, it doesn't mean I'm gonna be right, but I'm happy to keep my 0% prediction out there.
We had someone on from the Boston Herald on Friday's show. She said, when I asked percentages 50-50 over under that he returns to the Patriots, she said under. We just had Mike Reese on last hour. He said over. And I know there's a lot of people that have differing opinions on that. I feel like that's pretty much a 50-50 split on that, over under 50% of him returning. How would you, are you clearly over of returning to the Patriots?
I would say this, and Mike Reese, you know, people who don't, you know, follow him, and you know, generally speaking, there are people with every team that do a very good job. I mean, Mike, the detail that Mike Reese has, you know, on the New England Patriots is, I think you could compare it to anybody that covers a team. I mean, he and that's a hard team to cover, and Mike has a lot of details, you know, on that team. So, you know, I would get the sense that, and I don't know who he's getting his information from, but it would not surprise me if, you know, ownership was like, listen, we're going to do everything we can to re-sign Tom Brady. You know, it would not surprise me if he was getting that type of message from ownership, which would make you feel like it's over 50%. Am I over or under on it? I guess I would take the under on it a little bit.
Really?
Yeah, I think
under
so.
50% that he returns to New England?
Yeah, because I think that if he just wanted to do that, if it was like, I mean, look at the Breeze situation in New Orleans. Like, yeah, you know, we're not sure what Breeze is going to do, and then Breeze is like, hey, I'm coming back. And so everyone's like, oh, yeah, he's going to be in New Orleans. Like, this just seems strange to me that you have people in this situation that are you know, doing this dance. You know what I mean by that?
Yeah.
So, like,
yeah.
There's obviously something that's holding this up. And I'll still just go back to, you know, Tom Brady's father's comments during the season that were like, hey, it's up to Bill. So I just feel like there's something going on there. And so whether it's money or it's the structure of the money, whatever it is, there's an issue there when, like, you don't see that issue in New Orleans. And, like, that's the next closest thing you can compare Brady's situation to. So, I think the Chargers are a very real possibility. I think the Bucks are a real possibility. Obviously, you know, I think there's a 0% chance that he signs Tennessee, but – look, Tennessee, you know, clearly could be a landing spot. And so, you know, if he's got four potential options, you know, maybe more than that, I think then, yeah, you put it in under 50% seems to make sense.
What's interesting is, Tim, just kind of looking at, you know, what the lay of the land, when you think about it, the Patriots have owned that division. I mean, absolutely owned it for a long time, and it's not because they've been fending off all the world beaters in that division. I mean, you know, Buffalo just finally got to the playoffs since the Music City Miracle. I mean, they've been doing a whole lot of losing for a long time. We know the Dolphins have had certainly their fair share of issues, and the Jets always have issues. So that division has been there for the taking, and they've taken it every year. To me, it's probably the easiest division in the league when you look at, I mean, think about if the Raiders or the Chargers, let's just say, I mean, that's the division you don't want. I mean, that's Patrick Mahomes. That's the Chiefs. If you go to San Francisco, if that were true, I mean, you got to deal with New Orleans or you got to deal with Seattle and the Rams. And, you know, I know to me, it's like, that's the toughest division. I think here, while the Titans haven't taken advantage of it, with no Andrew Luck, I think Indianapolis's future is, we see, if you don't have Andrew Luck or Peyton Manning, they're a different franchise. And Jacksonville's Jacksonville. And, yeah, the Texans get written off every year and they find a way to get into postseason. But it's, I mean, the lay of the land is pretty easy here. It's, to me, it's easier than going through the Chiefs, don't you think?
I do, but, like, and I feel like, you know, we keep going back to this point, and, like, you are, like, you're making a case that I think is, like, the case that, you know, John Robinson, if he's trying to sign him, should be the case that John Robinson is making to him. So, like, I'm just preface this by saying that, like, you're not wrong, like, with, like, the case that you are making. If it's about football, you know, like you're making the case John Robinson should make. The issue, I remember this story one time where the Seahawks were trying to sign Brad Johnson. He was going to be my brother's backup in Seattle. And Brad Johnson went up to Seattle. I guess they, you know, had a great time. Matthew and Brad got along great. Matthew was really hoping, you know, it was going to work out. And, And they were flying back, Brad and his wife were flying back to where they're living. And Matthew's like, you think it's going to work out? And he's like, there's no shot. No one said anything to my wife. He's like, they were recruiting the wrong person.
Like, oh, wow.
I'm not going to, like, it's not going to happen. Like, I'm not going to end up there. So I just think that, like, yeah, your pitch to, like, hey, the football Tom Brady makes sense. But I, like, again, I'm not sure that it's about. I don't think it's about football. Guys, if it was about football, why are you not back in New England? We can criticize the offensive weapons all you want. They've got a great defense. They've got the all-time winning coach. You referenced the division and it really kind of being a mess, like in their domination of it. If it's about football, like it's your play caller that you love, why are you leaving if it's about football?
Fair point.
So my thing is, and that's the only thing I would like question that, you know, not question, but like caution, like the Titans for, if I were a coach or if I were in the personnel department and we were having discussions of, all right, what do we want to do? Like part of me would say, listen, we're always wondering what a guy's motivation is. Like this doesn't seem like we're sure it's a football decision for him because we got to make sure, like, what his motivations are. You know, like, that would be the thing that concerns me.
How crazy do you think Monday, Tuesday, and Wednesday are going to be?
You know, the thing that I don't know is, like, you know, is Brady going to, like, move fast? Like, go back to the Peyton Manning situation. And, you know, I know it wasn't exactly the same because, you know, he was let go, so he was free. And then, you know, he also, I guess, had the health kind of issues, and maybe people were, you know, wondering a little bit, you know, where he was with that. And, you know, I don't know if he had to throw in front of somebody or, you know, if that was necessary. But Peyton took his time because I think he wanted to make a good decision. He wasn't worried about, you know, like somebody taking a spot in front of them. Mm-hmm. So, like, I think for Brady, like, I don't think Brady's worried about somebody, like, stealing his spot. And I think that ends up putting the ball kind of back in, like, the Titans' hands, for example, where it's like, all right, well, what are you going to do with the guy that led you to the playoffs last year? Because, you know, you can't just totally ignore him.
Right. So don't you think the teams or potential teams, whether it's the Patriots or whoever, aren't they going to put pressure on him to say, look, you know, we need an answer. You in or you out?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Because they have to make other decisions.
But I don't know that he's going to, like, I don't know that he's going to fall to that pressure. You know? Like, that's the part for me with, like, when I look at it with him. And, you know, I think Chris Mortensen maybe had a report like this. It wasn't Mort. I thought maybe somebody had a report kind of about, listen, Tom and Peyton have talked. And, you know, I think he's kind of asked them about his process of changing teams. And, you know, the things that were helpful during that time. So, like, you know, Peyton took his time, ended up in a really good spot, ended up winning a Super Bowl, you know, and so, you know, with that, you know, I just think that I just don't think Brady – I guess here's my thing with Brady. I don't think the Chargers are going to move quickly. I don't think Tampa's going to move quickly, and I don't think New England's going to move quickly. They don't have to. Like, Tampa, I don't think, is going to be like, oh, wait a second, we might lose Jameis if we don't move quickly. That's not going to happen. Like, the Chargers, it's like – hey, wait, we got to hurry up and sign Andy Dalton? Like, I don't think that's going to be the issue. You know, Tennessee's the team that's like, hey, like, you got to make moves on Ryan Tannehill. Otherwise, like, somebody might be
else
like,
will.
Right, wait a second,
yep.
They're dragging their feet.
Yep. Yeah, they're probably in the weirdest spot, to your mm-hmm. point. Because they have to, because John Robinson, kind of what we've talked about in the past with you, like, he knows – you can't lose both. I mean, you can't get left at the altar. So he's got to land one of them, and so you have to be careful. It's a, you're right. I mean, because somebody may swoop in and say, "Hey, yeah, sure, Tannehill's camp, $30 million, sure, yeah, yeah, we were impressed last year. We'll give that to you." And
so
the next thing you know,
I'll tell you what. I mean, it's probably obvious based on our conversations. I would sign Ryan Tannehill. I would get you. I think that if you are aggressive and proactive enough with it, you basically recreate what you had last year with Derrick Henry and Ryan Tannehill. There's a way to do
that. I think Ryan Tannehill, you know, for the right price, as long as he's not insulted, I think it's pretty clear he would like to, you know, he would come back here. He liked this market. He liked what the Titans are doing, the weapons around him. Yes. There's no doubt.
What would you do? What would you guys do?
If everything was on the table and everything was fair game and
listen, Tannehill's going to make starting quarterback money, whether it's the Titans or somebody else. So, listen, but whatever, you're saying $30 million. Like, you're going to be in that neighborhood. It's not going to be a crazy one place and not the other. I mean, that's just what his is going to be. So and Brady's is going to be whatever his ends up being, if it's, you know, 80 over 2 and it's all guaranteed or whatever, Brady's is going to be Brady's. So, like, we all kind of have a general sense of what we think the numbers are going to be. So, like, what would you do?
If it was just apples to apples and we don't need to worry about length of contract or money, and just if you could pick one or the other, is that what you're asking?
Knowing that that's what the money is going to be. Like, Brady is going to be more expensive over 2 years. Tannehill is going to be more expensive over the next 5, you know, but you're getting their age and their ability and you're getting all of that. Like, what would you do? I would sign the younger quarterback who played well, who fits with my team, and I would bring back the run, like the running back. Like, that's what I would do.
Yeah, no, I mean, I think it's pretty clear on the show that you would do that. Chase would do the same thing, and Willie would do the same thing, and I would be the Tom Hanks on an island with looking for Wilson or Brady, because I would. You know, I've already stated all my reasons why. I mean, I just doesn't
there are
mean
bigger picture things.
It doesn't
involved.
Right. It's a bigger picture thing. It's much more encompassing than just, you know, him lining up under center. But there's a lot of components with that. But it's not a slight on Tannehill. That's what I keep saying. This is not.
We're talking about
the best of all time.
Yeah. No. And listen, in terms of Tannehill, because I think you're right about, like, and there are teams. I think we've talked about this that have been doing economic impacts of signing Tom Brady. I guess what I'm saying is, like, just like you look around and, you know, Philip Rivers was the face of the, you know, Chargers for a really long time. And, you know, the you know, Steve McNair was the guy here for a long time. Like, I'm not saying it will happen, but, like, you do have the ability for Ryan Tannehill to be a draw. Like, Ryan Tannehill plays consistently the way he played, you know, from week 10 on, there's going to be a lot of number 17 jerseys bought. Like, it's not like you're just replacing, you know, it Brady or look, it's not Brady or Andy Dalton. It's not like, that's not what you're doing. Like, you know, I think there's a feeling, I mean, he's kind of been a guy that people thought could be the face of the franchise before.
Yeah. But I mean, we haven't seen – it's in fairness to him, he had to take over in the middle of a season. So I don't know the answer to that. I mean, I don't think he really – Derrick Henry is the most popular player on the team, and it's not even close. What does that mean if Tom Brady was there? Does Tom Brady become the most popular? Or is it still Derrick Henry? I just think Brady and Tannehill, there's a pretty big gap.
And Tim, why I say Tannehill, the biggest thing for me is the relationship with Arthur Smith. That clicked. And I'm not saying that Tom wouldn't have that, you know, but we all know that Tom's a different type player. He has a different relationship with Josh McDaniels and Bill Belichick than Tannehill had with his offensive coordinator and Arthur Smith. And I think that's important.
Do you think the fan base would be disappointed if they don't sign Tom Brady?
No. I think the fan base, I'm in the minority. I think most of the fan base, I know because we've talked about it so much, would rather have Ryan Tannehill. And let me just say this. I'll tell you what I've said before and I said yesterday. A lot of this, and I get it. I understand. a lot of this is just the pure hatred for the Patriots and Tom Brady and the fatigue of Tom Brady and the Patriots over the years. I get it. When you've done a whole lot of winning, it's natural to hate them. Okay, that's how it works. And then you've got the, you know, the black clouds that hang over them. A lot of people think they're cheaters. I mean, I get all that. And so those people, they're not going to change their mind, period. So I understand it, but that is also a factor into this conversation. It is not just simply this guy's going to be 43, this right. guy's going to be 32, and that's that. You go with the younger guy or the guy who was here last season. There is a lot of other factors that people have been rooting against the Patriots for a long time, and I get it because they've been the gold standard. And so they just naturally hate them, just like when the Yankees were doing a whole lot of winning or the Lakers or the Celtics. We can all, you know, talk about dynasties. And when dynasties are happening, usually outside of that fan base, everybody else is rooting against them.
Yeah, I think you're right about that. I think there are people that, like, haven't liked them, so they're like, oh, I could, you know, now I'd be cheering for them. I think that's a fair point. My perspective on it is I don't feel like it's a football decision for him. I feel like the guy that's here is a good fit and wanted and wants to be here, you know, and that for me, I think is that's important, you know, rather than, look, Brady could be done in a year. You know, he could do 1 year and be like, you know what, it's not like playing in New England. Like, yeah, I'm done.
It could be a disaster wherever he goes. It could be, sure. And he could say, the hell with this.
Yep. There's a lot of could-bes. I mean, he could come here, they win the Super Bowl, and then he walks off. We don't know. That's the thing. There's just a lot of unknown with it, just like there is with Tannehill.
Yeah, I mean, every time I hear other people talk about it, and I know, and we've talked about this, Schefter has kind of, you know, made it seem like it's a legitimate possibility. And, there's been a lot of reports that have linked the Titans to him. And like I said, I get a little, you know, I get the happy feet. At the same time, like when I keep going over and over and over, and I'm like, if I'm putting myself in John Robinson's situation, I don't think I want to do it. Like I would rather Ryan Tannehill. And because I guess I'm not looking at it as a one, you know, or 2 year situation. I'm looking at it in, like, all right, and then maybe I'm looking at it with too wide of a lens of 5 years, but that would be my approach to it.
Okay. More with Tim Hasselbeck on the other side as we're live here at Kroger, just outside the front entrance, 1203 Murfreesboro Road in Franklin, here, exit 96, right by I-65. More with Tim Hasselbeck on the other side, ESPN 102.5 The Game.
Back here, Darren Donick and Chase, ESPN 102.5 The Game. You can hear us on the Game Nashville app as well. We're out at the Kroger in Franklin at 1203 Murfreesboro Road, taking donations for Second Harvest Food Bank. So stop by and say hello. Our sister station, 102.9 The Buzz, is also here and continuing our weekly chat with my best friend, Tim Hasselbeck of ESPN. And Tim, we can move on from Tom Brady for a little bit because there are other needs for the Tennessee Titans. And we know Derrick Henry is at the top of the list, in my opinion. We know they got to take care of the quarterback, but I am curious to see what other free agents that are either on this team already or elsewhere that John Robinson is going to try and go after. Jack Conklin, I feel like he's going to be gone, the right tackle, but edge rush continues to be a position of need, in my opinion, for the Titans. Do you think that that's something that he's going to pursue in free agency, the draft, or both?
Probably both. I mean, it seems like it's always hard. You know, you think back a year ago they signed Cameron Wake. Was that last year?
Yep.
It was, right?
Yep.
Yeah, I mean, there's always, you know, an effort, you know, for pass rushers. And I think that, you know, when people talk about, like, hey, you know, how do you build your team? Do you build through the draft? Do you build through free agency? I think it's clear, you know, you just look at, we just even look at like what the Jaguars did with Yannick Ngakoue, right? Like he basically has been as good as any defensive lineman for the most part since he's been in the league. But he was a, you know, later pick, and he was just so inexpensive. You look at his production level, you know, for a guy that's done what he's done, if he were doing that in years, you know, 5 through 8 in the NFL, he'd be making himself a lot of money. So I think you try to do it both ways. You know, you try to find guys that are proven at the position, you know, have shown that they can produce, you know, in the NFL doing that. But at the same time, you know, finding somebody through the draft and that guy actually being good, you know, is a better way to help your football team improve, you know, going forward.
How much do you – and I know there's obviously a lot of things that won't happen this year when the CBA is ratified, if it's ratified, you know, on Saturday when the players vote on it, but there's a lot of moving parts to it. How much do you think that's affecting general managers' decisions, because they've had to wait on the franchise tag deadline has been pushed back a few times. It's going to be Monday now. Free agency opens Wednesday, but legal tampering starts Monday. Do you think that's holding up some of the planning because they're waiting to see what happens with the CBA?
I think it definitely is. And, you know, I mean, you just think it, like, if, you know, you're not able to tag somebody. I mean, you look at the situation with, like, Chris Jones of the Chiefs, where it's like, you know, everyone's expecting him to be tagged. Well, if he doesn't get tagged, then that would be, you know, completely different. So, yeah, I think that's part of the issue, just in terms of and why, you know, what kind of keeps agreeing to kind of move things around a little bit is that you need to know some of this stuff. And, look, I kind of think that, you know, and I don't know the timeline and any of that, but, like, I think this thing's going to get approved. I think when you get to the masses of players, you know, just kind of putting myself in the situation for a lot of these guys, listen, one more game for guys that are willing to play in the preseason because it's kind of trying to make teams, or, you know, an extra game check. Right. I think for the masses, that's going to be too hard to, you know, to get by. And in terms of changes to the franchise tags, it doesn't really affect that many guys. You know, so most of the people voting, you know, on changes to the franchise tag stuff, like, they, you know, were voting to prevent or to prevent it from being the same way that it is, or all of that stuff. Like, those guys, like, there's not that many of them. And so that's not what's dictating a, you know, a guy's vote. So I do think, Chase, to you know, it's a long-winded way of saying it, but I do think it's having a massive impact on how teams are trying to figure out planning right now.
Well, and I'm curious, too, because, you know, part of this is the rosters would expand, and I believe it's 55, so that's only two spots. But, you know, 32 teams, that opens up more jobs. And, you know, there's another league that's playing right now that seems to be doing well, having success. And some of these guys had played in the NFL and just couldn't quite make it. Well, all of a sudden that opens up the door for guys, you know, that are playing in the XFL or, you know, or have been on practice squads. That could change some things for them. So I am
Chase,
curious of
point.
What
– Chase, that is a great point, because when, you know, when I was playing, not everyone carried three quarterbacks. Like, that's – you know, the trend
right.
was kind of starting around that time. Carry two, try to practice squad one, okay? Well, every third quarterback or potential third quarterback that's a member of the PA is going to be looking around going – wait a second. You're gonna okay. So there's 10 more roster spots. Our teams are gonna be more likely to carry three. Like, yep, approved, right? Like, you know, or think about offensive linemen. You know, a lot of these teams are really, really, you know, flirting with disaster on game day in terms of, you know, who's healthy and who's dressed, and you know, some poor soul's gonna be able to play left tackle, right tackle, might be kicked inside. You know, guys are, you know, who have never played center before. Or in situations where they're like, listen, we like if something bad happened, we would need you to play center. Like, and so I think there are guys that are going to be so that are like, listen, you're exactly right. Where it's like, this might mean me having a job or not. Like, yeah, I think the number of those guys, there's too many of them.
Hey, before we let you go, I want to get you one draft question for you because, you know, I still pay attention to this as the with the Titans of, you know, no matter what they do with the starting quarterback, they still could look at possibly drafting somebody. Jalen Hurts has been in the conversation a lot. What are your thoughts on him?
So I like him. I haven't finished watching him. I've watched a lot of guys so far. Like I've watched Steven Montez from Colorado. I've watched a little bit of James Morgan from Florida International. Watched the kid from Michigan State, Lewerke. So, like, you know, there are guys. There's actually a lot of quarterbacks I feel like will have a, you know, kind of a draftable grade. You know, I think the thing with Hurts is, you know, I just, you know, having just watched him on TV and not totally studied him, like, he was a guy that I was like, you know, like, and you guys have heard my comments on, you know, Ben Roethlisberger, and I know he started throwing and stuff. But, like, he's a guy where I was like, you know what? I could see him in Pittsburgh. You know, they have some young guys that have played this year, and it's kind of, you know, this past year, and there's been mixed results. Like, he's a guy that I could see, you know, potentially being there. You start to use him, and then who knows? Like, you know, does he eventually end up being your guy? Obviously, you know, he can still develop as a passer. I'm interested to kind of just study him a little bit more. But I think he'll be one of these guys. Like, he's just a good football player, you know, and, you know, it doesn't mean he's a perfect prospect, but I think there are people that are going to look at him, and I've seen projections anywhere from rounds, you know, 3 to 5 to potentially earlier than that on him. So, you know, I'm interested in watching him a little bit more, but, like, I think he will be a guy that every single team has interest in.
Good stuff. Appreciate it as always.
All right, guys. Good to be on with you.
Hey, get Tom Brady to tweet me back, please. I've been tweeting,
you know,
at him for the last 4 days.
I'm a little nervous, Chase, that, like, if he comes to town all of a sudden, like, you know what I mean? Like, I'll text you. You'll be like, new phone, who's this? You know, like.
No, I'm not going to do that. I'm not going to do that. Look, he's going to know that you're my guy. And we're friends.
Okay. All right. I don't know how many more shows I have of being able to call Darren. So.
This may be the last one. You may be calling me Mister next Wednesday.
I'm going to have to ask for permission to answer questions.
And oh, by the way, you may be doing one segment next week, and Elizabeth may be doing the other.
Hey, that's true too. By the way, are you guys going to the SEC tournament, or are you afraid to come in contact with people? Where are we on this?
We'll be there. We'll be there. We'll be there the rest of the week.
Darren will be in a bubble suit, but he'll be there.
Okay.
We'll be there Thursday and Friday.
All right.
At least that's the plan as of right now, Tim. I don't know. I don't know what could happen.
Bring some Purell.
We will. Hey, good to talk to you as always. Have a great week.
See ya.
Tim Hasselbeck. We enjoy the visits every Wednesday starting at noon. He is fun. He's a lot of fun. And it's hard to believe he's been on the station for how many years?
Yeah, like eight?
Seven or eight?
Yeah.
Is it?
Wow. Because his first appearance was when Willie and Big Joe did the afternoon show.
Well, this August will be 9 years.
I know.
It's for 102.5 The Game. 9 years this August. Mm-hmm. So Tim's almost been in the ground floor. That's pretty impressive. That's awesome. He's fantastic, and he's been on this show for many, many years, and so we love the visits. All right, we'll come back. More of Darren Donick and Chase on the other side. ESPN 102.5 The Game. Back here on Darren Donick and Chase. We're live here in Franklin, 1203 Murfreesboro Road. Bring those non-perishable items. We appreciate it. We're trying to help out tornado relief. The Avalanche right now could use some relief. Have you seen the news?
I have not.
Nathan McKinnon out 1 to 2 weeks.
Ooh. That's not good. That's not good for them. My prediction of them winning the Central, that hurts that.
Not good. By the way, 1 to 2 weeks. If it's 2 weeks, that may be close to being all of the regular season.
Yeah. I mean, they've had their fair share of injuries this year. And yet to, I mean, they've still stayed in the position they're in, but Nathan McKinnon, that changes things.
He is the straw.
Yeah, he is.
That stirs that drink, and I love straws.
I do too, not paper straws.
Regular
plastic straws, sorry. Sorry, environment.
No, you don't mean that.
I really don't. I don't.
Because you despise paper straws.
They don't work.
Just come up with better ones, and we'll be all for it.
And you know what else?
We're all about the environment, but come up with better paper straws. I mean, that's a better paper option. Those things
you can buy metal
suck.
Straws. I don't like that either because bite down on that.
Yeah.
That's not good.
But you're not supposed to use your teeth, so you don't bite down.
No, but, you know, you could by accident.
Yeah.
But anyway. We're not talking about straws.
No. Just wanted to pass along. Nathan McKinnon out 1 to 2 weeks. Chris Mason coming up at 1 o'clock. He has made a hefty case for Roman Josi. We've been talking about Roman Josi. We'll get into that and more with him. He's really broken down even more stats than just all of his career highs, but he's basically breaking down him to John Carlson. So we'll get into that. With C. Mace coming up at 1 o'clock.
I have a tweet to read.
Okay.
The name says Wesley Williams. However.
However.
Wesley claims he has quote tweeted my Tom Brady tweet and said, "This is Tom. I'm on my burner account. DM me those tickets when you're ready. Tom out."
Yeah. I wouldn't trust
that. Nice try.
Yeah.
Also, shout out and congratulations to the voice of the Titans, Mike Keith. He has been put in the Tennessee Radio Hall of Fame.
In this year's class?
Yeah.
So he joins one Terry Crisp.
Well, this is the radio, the Tennessee Radio Hall of Fame, not the Tennessee Sports Hall of Fame.
Oh.
Yeah.
Oh, that's different.
Yeah. So the Titans tweeted that out.
My bad.
Pretty cool.
Yeah, congrats.
Yeah, so Mike Keith does a fantastic job.
Well deserved. The SEC men's basketball tournament gets cranked up tonight. I've seen Tennessee has been practicing on the floor of Bridgestone Arena today. Tonight it'll be Georgia and Ole Miss, first game at 6 o'clock, and the nightcap will be Vanderbilt and Arkansas, and both those games will be played on SEC Network. So if you're looking for low college basketball this evening, there you go, 6 and probably about 8:30 or closer to 8:45, somewhere around there. For the two games,
I wonder how that's going to turn out for Vandy. They closed the regular season the way you want to. I mean, they got a couple wins. I think Jerry Stackhouse has really gotten those kids to buy in, and has done a tremendous job in his first year. I'd be curious to see how that's going to turn out
tonight. I would like to ask Willie Brackets.
I know
that if Arkansas beat Vanderbilt and then beat South Carolina on Thursday, what that would do for their chances of getting in.
Well, you could, you know, he's tweeting now, so you could tweet Willie Brackets and ask him. He might respond.
Well, he got back to your tweet yesterday during the show.
12 hours later.
It was a half of a day later.
Hey, so that's better than he has been. That is an improvement.
Well, I guess a half of a day is better than nothing, yes. In fact, his words were, "I'm a new man."
Yeah, well, it's different. It's definitely different.
But, yeah, it was a very long response. I mean, I did not think he was going to get back, but I think he started feeling the peer pressure. People started tweeting of
no response,
and then he responds. So I hesitate to give too much credit because I feel like it's a few good men, man. You got bullied into that courtroom.
Yep, he did. I meant to tweet last night.
You got bullied into that response.
I tweeted last night that I think somebody should make a TV show starring Chris Mason and Hal Gill. And after I hit send, I thought, man, a funnier version of that would have been Willie can be the weird neighbor down the hall. I could totally see that. I wish I'd done it now. And see, I should have taken Herm's advice and waited 60 seconds, and then I could have been in.
There you go.
Been funnier.
See?
More funny.
But he's talking about controversial, not just any tweet.
No, I know.
Yours was not a controversial
No,
tweet.
Not at all. Not at all. I have those there are some people that think I'm an annoying clown for tweeting Tom Brady.
That's
that
a little strong.
That
those
he's
those
not
words
gonna,
are a little strong.
A little bit. I put it on my Twitter bio just so people would know. But no, that he's not going to respond. Well, no blank.
Sherlock.
That's kind of the joke. Like,
it's like, loosen up. Lighten up a little.
Hey, he won't respond with that attitude.
I know. Exactly.
But it's just like the people, stop talking about that. No, that's not. Okay, no. You understand. You telling us to stop is not, no, that's
Please
not how it works.
Stop talking.
Stop talking about
Please
Tom
stick
Brady.
To robotic topics.
It's a story. That's why we're talking about it, okay? It's kind
ESPN's
of a big deal.
About it.
It's kind of a big deal. If you think you get tired of us talking about it, are you kidding?
Right.
Any show you turn on, that's all they're talking about.
Right.
But by the way, all the shows. It's not just ESPN.
It's not going away until he...
It goes away
yeah.
next week. And we'll see what happens. I think it's under 50% that he comes here.
Under 50%?
Mm-hmm. Yep.
Okay, this is the best way to
you
describe this
You admitted to me
topic.
Yesterday or the day before that you thought.
I thought you might be right. That's what I said.
And I said,
yeah.
I don't know.
But here's what happens with a topic like this. And you've been in this game long enough that you know this, what I'm about to say. The more we talk about it, the more time goes on, the more information that comes out or doesn't come out, or just you have all the talking heads that continue to bring this up, the more you just in your head, whether you say it publicly, it goes back and forth. It's
mm-hmm.
like a pendulum.
Yeah.
Because you talk yourself into it, then you talk yourself out of it, then you talk yourself back into it, then you talk yourself out of it. Then you're like, well, I don't know. Maybe it's like that gif that came out a few years ago of the girl that, you know, she's like, no, well, maybe, but no, it could happen. It's like that. I mean, that's exactly what this is. And there have been countless examples of topics like that. This is one of the biggest because we don't know anything. That's the bottom line. Because Stone Cold said so.
And Charlie Weiss.
And he's right.
From Tom Brady.
He's right. Nobody knows.
By the way, Tom responded to Charlie.
Yeah, well, Charlie was also his OC.
He was.
I was not. I wonder if he would. If Floyd had Twitter, do you think he'd respond to Floyd?
Yeah, I'd say there's a chance.
We need to get Floyd on Twitter just to see.
Hey, Tom, why don't you just Floyd. Start up a Floyd account?
Well, I don't want to do that. I don't want to do that.
He wouldn't know. How would he know?
Because Jared would run his mouth and tell him.
Well, there's that. I want to talk to you about USS, United Structural Systems,
back.
A foundation repair and waterproofing company that has served our area here in Middle Tennessee since 1994. And we've been taking on a lot of rain lately, unfortunately. And they have over 18,000 satisfied residential customers, 18,000 homeowners that are satisfied with the work of USS. And maybe you've noticed you've got bowing basement walls or standing water in a crawl space or musty odors or rot in floor joists, condensation on ductwork, cracks in basement floors. These are all signs that maybe something is going on and something you need to get the experts out to your house. And you're wondering, why is my home wet? Well, maybe you just have poor drainage or there's water seeping through walls or surface water floods that's coming over the walls or underground pressure that's forcing water into your basement. Either way, this is something that you need to have USS look at and tell you, big deal, not a big deal. And that's exactly what they do. They're the experts. They believe in their quality of work, their reputation, and the integrity of their work. They'll give you a free estimate. They're locally owned, and they're licensed and insured. And as a homeowner, I hope that gets your attention. It certainly got mine when they came out to my house. The number to get them out to your place, 615-227-2275. That's 227-2275. Or you can go to their website, usstn.com. Once again, that's usstn.com. And as they say, we guarantee our best. Call USS. All right. right, we've got a new update. You knew it wouldn't take long on this show. There was no way we were going to go the rest of the show without a new update.
Like a
courtesy of Northern California. Again, we talked about the San Jose Sharks. I believe they said they're going to adhere to what came out a couple days ago that's supposed to take place on Thursday, which is tomorrow. And a little bit bigger city, San Francisco.
Yep.
Did you see this?
I have not.
The Warriors said that they are going to be playing the Nets on Thursday night at Chase Center. I didn't even know that was their new home was called Chase Center.
I didn't know that's what it was either.
You should know that.
Just like
you didn't know the Orca Chaser that I bring in every day was called the Orca Chaser.
I just know one Chase, and that's me.
I know, but you should know all the other Chasers out there and Chases. That game will be close to the fans.
There we go.
So Warriors-Nets tomorrow in San Francisco in their new home, close to the fans.
Were a lot of fans going to show up for that anyway?
Steph's back.
Yeah, that's true. He is back. Okay.
Yeah. I don't know. Elijah watches that. I don't know what the attendance has been like. It's a brand new, beautiful arena in downtown San Francisco. It's the Warriors, but yeah, they got a ton of injuries all year, and they lost Durant. But Elijah, what have they been drawing this year? All their games been sellouts or what? I wouldn't know.
It's surprisingly not terrible. And for a team as bad as they've been all year, starting guys like Mike Mulder, who no one knows, I have never even heard of. They start guys like that night in, night out. They still draw pretty decent crowds. I still say they're probably.
You said Mark Mulder? Yeah, he was good with the A's.
Oh yeah, change sports.
I was trying to think. I'm like, I know that name. Baseball.
It seems like Mike Mulder is like a guy that they've started this year, and no one knows who this guy is. And they've had several lineups like that. Like the lineups they've trotted out on that floor are atrocious. So it's a miracle anyone goes to them. It's a miracle that their attendance isn't just horrendous. Of course, the place being new helps.
Right. I mean, it's the Warriors, and right, they're in San Francisco now, and they're in a new home. So I don't think that should really surprise us, even though everybody knows they're not at full strength, so to speak. But they did get Steph back, and it looks like they're going to play in front of nobody on Thursday. And we've been talking about this. I mean, this is where all this is seems like it's going. And like I said, I have read the response from the Sharks and the league, and it said they will adhere to what Santa Clara County has asked, out in California, has asked people to do in a working environment where there's going to be a large gathering. They have asked them to not do it in front of mass gathering. So, and they said the Sharks will adhere to it, which means they have three home games left. I don't know why they only have three left in the month of March, but that is the case. And I suspect, if I'm reading that correctly, that the Sharks too will play in front of no one.
I think right now they have to. I mean, if that's kind of the rule being
set. But why? But, I mean, the governor of Ohio said the same thing, and the Blue Jackets have done just the opposite.
Yeah.
And by the way, I'm starting to
see this whole thing is so confusing.
I'm starting to see chatter now that Dayton is in real jeopardy of being played in front of fans.
Right. Look, it would not shock me. This is something I was thinking about. We were talking earlier about the NCAA tournament and if it would be played in front of no fans. It would not surprise me if there's one site that ends up doing that, and Dayton could very well be it.
Well, Cleveland, they have one in Cleveland too.
Right. So Cleveland, Dayton, you know, the Ohio.
At the Q. Is it still called the Q?
I don't know. Quicken Loans Arena?
Yeah.
Yeah, I think so.
Okay. I mean, they change so often. If you don't look, and if you haven't looked in a while, it can change on you.
So, look, when we started talking about this really on Monday, seriously, with all this stuff happening, I think we both kind of felt, there's a good shot there's going to be a sporting event played in an empty arena, that there's going to be something, that there's going to be an empty venue that, you know, you're going to have to do something. So
but evidently it's happening in Seattle too. So I guess MLS purposes,
Does that okay? So, forgive the ignorance, but I'm asking the question: does it change though? Because MLS is outside. I mean, I know they have the locker room policy and all.
I don't
of that,
know. But that's actually. I mean, that's a like fair. But the Mariners play outside, so.
Yeah. Well, they have a. Is it a roof or?
Do they?
I think it's a roof. I think it has a roof.
Do they have a retractable roof? I don't think so.
If only I knew somebody that you know is from Seattle, I could ask that question too. But, I don't know. Yeah. So, look, this is all uncharted territory. But, you know, I was talking to somebody else about this, and they made a very good point that you also have to keep in mind that we might be okay. We could fight this stuff up, but it's elderly. It's, you know, there are other people that if it's spread around by somebody that can fight it off, that can't. And I think that's part of the worry.
Apparently, Seattle's saying 250 or more.
Wow.
That's their number. All right, we'll come back. Chris Mason is in Toronto. We'll talk to C-Mace to kick off the fourth and final hour. That's next.
What's up, fools? Main Event Jey Uso here from the WWE. When it's just me between matches, it's day one-ish. And that means it's Chumba time. With hundreds of casino-style games and new titles arriving weekly, there's always something fresh to try at Chumba Casino. The daily boosts make it even more fun. And have me about to get them all during my downtime. Ready for a fun way to chill out and enjoy a few minutes for yourself? Let's Chumba.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. See T's and C's. 21 plus. Sponsored by Chumba Casino.